Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We continue to rejoice in Eastertide of the great victory of Jesus Christ over sin, over death, and for our incorporation into that victory, into the saving mysteries of Christ. And we hear the words of the epistle of James, the apostle, that he wrote to the Gentile, or to the Greek-speaking Jewish church. And these are words that resonate through the ages, and we're blessed by them today. So when he says that every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, the Father who has created the great lights of the sun, the moon, and the stars, but though they have their changes, their own seasons, and though we might see even the sun eclipsed by the moon, or we lose track of the sun when we're on our particular place on the planet, when it tilts, we lose track of the sun until the next day. These are, and there are shadows that are cast. These have great changes. These lights change. But God does not change. In fact, he says from the prophet Malachi, I am God, I change not. And so we're reminded by the Apostle Paul of the changelessness of God. And that's very helpful to us to hear in Eastertide when we rejoice over the victory of Christ. That does not change. The love of God does not change. God does not change. And so very helpful to us to have a steady, certain point of reference in a world that is full of changes. And wow, do we live in a season of great changes. I mean, even if you think from the time you were born until now, how many societal changes there have been, how many radical shifts have taken place in the way that people think and are organized, and how the technological advances are happening in such a fashion and are released onto an unsuspecting population. We haven't caught up to these things. And it's blindingly fact. We need a place of reference, and that place that we can have is God himself, who changes not. There's a beautiful articulation of this truth in the prayer of Compline. And this prayer is lovely, how it speaks about how we can rest. And I'll read that prayer to you now. It's at the very end of Compline when the officiant will pray, be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may repose upon thy eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the apostle is pointing us toward the one who will give us rest. In a world that is changing, let us keep our eyes fixed on Christ and rest in his changelessness. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we also see that he speaks about the will of God. Every good and perfect gift is from above, is coming from the Father of lights, and his will toward us is good. In fact, he is the one who has begotten us through the Word and given us a new nature. So his will toward us is good, and that changes not. We have the great assurance given to us by the apostles in their uniformity of doctrine that it is God who is bringing us every good and perfect gift, and who is bringing us the new gift of grace given in our regeneration through grace. And we see this echoed in the words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in that discourse that he had with him, when he said, you must be born again. Those who enter into the kingdom of heaven must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And then of St. John, who speaks of that grace happening through Christ, the one who was received not by all, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believed on his name. And they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So they were born of God. And here we have the Apostle James speaking the same truth, that it is his good will, and then of his good will, he has brought you through into this new regeneration, into new birth. So he has begotten us by his goodwill. And now we see the graces that are given through the regeneration that is given through faith and by the sacraments of the church, that we are now incorporated into the body of Christ, now through the graces that are given in baptism and Holy Communion. He indwells us and we indwell him. And we pray this in the Holy Communion, that he may evermore dwell in us and we in him. And now his new nature is transforming us as we live out the life of grace. And so here is where the Apostle James will open this out, saying that we are to now live according to these truths, and he gives very practical advice. So let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He's giving a very practical point, you know, that now that you have a new nature, then live according to that nature, not according to the ways of the world, where so much, where there's an easy fallback into the fallen nature of wrath, thinking that that will bring somehow peace. Instead, he says, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So he gives us practical advice there. And then also that now that we're in the new nature, we should cast off all those things that are of the world, those things that are leading people through sin unto death. Instead, we cast aside all that superfluity of naughtiness, that naughtiness means to make naught of, all those things that truly are empty, that have no eternal value. We sweep those aside and instead receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. And so here is the sincere bid of James, and now we hear it again freshly in Eastertide, that we are to live according to that truth that has been given to us, the reality of Christ indwelling us. And what is the great mystery that opens up when we live out that truth? We see that we are actively participating in the regeneration of the entire created order as the first fruits of the holy harvest. Jesus, the first one to enter into death, he broke its power, rose again from the dead. Now we follow him, and his indestructible life in us will allow us to survive our own death. We'll go into death, but be raised up from the dead. And even now in our lives, as we move away from the things that lead to death, sin and death, but now move under the things that open out to eternal life, we are showing forth the first fruits of the regeneration. Remember, in the beginning, God, when he created man, created him in his own image. In the image of God, created him male and female. And now that pinnacle of creation, through their rebellion against God, brought death into the world. The first Adam, through him came death, but now by the second Adam comes life. And so just as death came into the world through the sin of Adam and Eve, now that curse is undone by the second Adam and by the faith of the bride of Christ, his church. And now that curse being undone, life is opening out first for our human race, now in particular, in real time, in your own lives. In our human race, we're at the cutting edge of the redemption of the entire created order, and that will open out and bring in and come into its fullness when Jesus comes again. In that great cataclysmic day of the second coming, when he will usher in a new heavens and a new earth. And so in this Eastertide, we rejoice in the victory of Christ, and we look to the fullness of that victory being lived out in our lives now, as Christ conquers sin in our lives and brings us to life, and then ultimately in the fullness of the redemption that Christ has won for us. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who says, "Behold, I make all things new." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.